Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. Thanks for being so faithful to come over here. We're going to have a place one day. We've got some very interesting things happening towards that end, and I'll keep you posted, but we have very two important meetings this week about building spaces, and so I would like to ask you to keep this week in prayer, and it's pretty amazing what's going on, so if you just keep that in prayer. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens, and your bulletins. Let's open up and look at our memory verse for the week. And don't forget our baptism this Saturday. Bring your Mary Poppins swimwear. It says, then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Let's read that together. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Okay, turn to, we have many verses to look at. Turn to Romans chapter 12. We'll start there. And I think now, if you can, when you get there, turn your get your sermon notes out. I want to have you write something on your sermon notes that's going to help you follow what I'm going to talk about today. As you get your sermon, the sermon title is called Peace Out. You can write that, Peace Out. And down right under the word, well, next to the word notes, you could write the word peace, P-E-A-C-E. And then every two lines or so down this left side of the notes, write P, and then skip a line or two, E-A-C-E. And I'm going to give you scriptures for each one of those letters and a little two or three word note to write next to. So next to notes, you're going to write peace across, and then peace down the side, like a little acronym or acrostic, or however you say it. Okay? As a matter of fact, let me do it for... You know what I'm saying? Can y'all see that? Oh, sorry. My bad. You get the idea, okay? I was watching, and I don't watch the show. Actually, I couldn't even watch the whole thing. But I, Politically Incorrect. I've never watched that show. I really can't stand it. But I happened to turn on, and I don't know why I watched the first couple minutes, but he started talking about Christianity, and I think his name was Bill Maher. Is that the guy's name? Okay, he's definitely anti-Christian, if you will, even though he would say he was, I think, but he's Catholic. But there were Christians on the show. Sheila E. was on the show, who I think is a believer, because she said she was a Jesus freak and seemed to be present herself very, very respectfully. And there was another woman on the show who was obviously a Christian, very outspoken. And they started to debate things that the Bible says and whether the things that the Bible says are really true. And he was obviously arguing for the other side of people who don't believe in the Bible. And he made a comment. He says, Jerry Falwell says that homosexuality is wrong. Who is Jerry Falwell? He said. And he says, does God speak to Jerry Falwell? Like, I mean, what's up with that? And when he said that, you know, people started clapping and stuff. And I was like, yeah, God does speak to Jerry Falwell. God speaks to me too. Speaks to you too. And so many people are out in the dark to know how and when God's speaking and what God's saying. And so last week I said I was going to talk about, actually 2 weeks ago I said I was going to talk about that last week, but we had the shooting. So I'm going to talk about it this week, but I also want to talk about it next week, because the more I kept looking into it, the longer the sermon kept getting. So I figured I'd cut it in half. And I want to talk today about, one, how do you know what God is saying to you, and how do you know if God is even talking to you? Because God speaks to us all the time, and He wants us to know what He wants us to know. He doesn't want you to figure stuff out on your own, because you're going to be wrong. I mean, you may happen chance be right, but you don't have to guess. And so I want to talk about that, knowing that God is speaking to you and what God is saying. Now, let me preface it by saying this. There's no perfect science to this. In other words, it's a by faith proposition. Is that you could say, you know, there's some things that I feel God's going to do for this church and for some of these meetings I'm having this week about the building. And in my heart, I believe 100% is going to happen. But you know what? I've been wrong before. And you could say, listen, Lord, I feel like you're telling me this. And sometimes all the signs can happen, and it won't be till years later that you realize that you thought He was saying something, then you thought you were wrong, and then you end up seeing that it ended up being good. And so it's a by faith proposition. And sometimes you won't really know until after the fact that really it's what He was wanting you to do. Matter of fact, when God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, He told his servants, I'm going up to make a sacrifice. And He says, go up and sacrifice your son. So in his mind, he's going up there to sacrifice his son. Now, God told Abraham He was going to use his son to have an inheritance through. And it was his only son. So he goes up to sacrifice his son, and yet God says, don't do it when he get out there. Now, did God change his mind? No, God was just testing him. So when he came back, his servants could have said, man, you didn't know what you were talking about. You said you were going to go sacrifice your son. I said, hey, man, at that moment, that's what God told me. But God knew what He was talking about the whole time. Our job is to know what God's saying at the moment and to do what He's saying. And so the other thing I want to say is that sometimes God will give you options. In other words, I can right now walk over there, and I can right now walk over there. And you know what? God probably don't really care. And so sometimes you can get so hyper-spiritual, like, okay, do I get a double-double with cheese? Or fried? I mean, and you could like hyper-spiritualize everything. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes God's like, I'm sure He's like, man, would they just get on with it? Just eat, eat. So I say that to say that sometimes, you know, God has given you a brain, and as long as you're not going out there becoming a serial killer, go ahead and do it. You know, go ahead and just as long as you're continually in contact with it. And so one, there's no perfect science. Two, sometimes you could just do whatever, you know, whatever. And three, I'm going to give you five or six steps. They don't work necessarily in the order I'm going to give them to you. I just put them in the order because they spell a word, okay? There's no order, okay? But first let me say this. God speaks to us in many ways. One, He speaks to us through prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, I will answer you and tell you great mighty things, things that you don't know. God wants to speak to you and tell you stuff you don't know. Isn't that a great thing? That right now, there's a whole bunch of stuff you don't know. Amen? That was a very weak amen. You don't know me, I know everything. I was in Canada last week for a couple days. I can't remember what days they were. And when I was there, I went to Franklin Graham's ministry, Samaritan's Purse. They have an office there, and I was meeting with some of the people there. And we were talking about reaching kids in third world countries, blah, 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 blah. And I says, do I hear you telling me that I don't know that I have a lot to learn? And he says, well, no, I'm not telling you that. I just know a lot of stuff. That's what he said. And I guess that's what he was telling me. He wasn't being critical or anything, but I just kind of was, you know, clarifying that's what he was trying to tell me. But when he says, I just happen to know a lot of stuff, I was like, yeah, you do know a lot of stuff. You know, and I think about how much God knows about you and your life, how much God knows about your issues. He says, call to me, I'll tell you. Okay? God speaks to, has spoken through fire. Moses was walking in the desert, and he saw a bush burning, and God spoke to him out of the fire. And Moses spoke back to the fire. Imagine if you had a Bic lighter and you lit it, and the Bic lighter spoke to you. You know, I mean, would you be foolish enough to speak back to it? You know, so God spoke out of fire. God spoke and speaks through dreams. He told Mary and Joseph where to take Jesus in a dream. Imagine you having a dream and you having enough faith to believe that your dream was from God. Can God speak to dreams? God created dreams. And it's a medium through which he can communicate. Doesn't mean everything you dream is true, because the devil communicates through the same, he communicates through us too. You have nightmares, or you dream stuff about people that you're going to marry and they don't even know you, don't like you, never will like you. Okay? So sometimes you dream about stuff you just want to, you want to have true. So, you know. God spoke to Moses in Exodus 33:11. He spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Ooh, that's what I want. He said, "What's up, Mo?" Then people, knuckleheads out there, "Yeah, God, Moses, I want to kill him." Moses told, God told Moses that, "I want to kill him." Moses said, "Please don't kill him, God." He said, "Okay." It's in the Bible. If you haven't read it, I think it's Deuteronomy 14. You can check it out. He speaks to us through his scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." He speaks to us through his word. He cannot lie to us because his word is true. He speaks through his son, Hebrews 1:1. "God, who at various times in various ways spoke to us in times past by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his son." God speaks to us through nature. Psalm 19 says that the glory of God is seen in what he has made. Romans 1 says the same thing, that the glory of God, his eternal attributes, are clearly seen in what he has made. That's why, of course, I love Discovery Channel, because you can see. Matter of fact, Crocodile Man has a new show, not a show, but there's a little Animal Planet, where they're going to show all the outtakes of when he got bit and, you know, all the stuff that you really wonder if ever happened, you know. So, but he's in those outtakes, God is speaking, saying, nature is really wild. Even a crocodile man can't tame it. Okay, on your piece of paper, on your notes, let's write this down. Next to the word notes, you're going to write peace. Okay? When God is speaking to you and God is directing you, a very important thing for you to have in your heart about making the decision about what God wants you to do is his peace. Next to that word peace, write James chapter 3, verse 17. Just James 3:17, and leave room, because I'm going to give you a couple other verses. In James 3:17, it says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." When God leads you and he's telling you something, he's guiding and directing you something, if you don't have peace in your heart and you feel unsettled about it, be careful before you move forward. If God is going to tell you to go buy a house, if God's going to tell you to go quit a job, if God's going to tell you to take a step of faith, let me tell you something. If it's his leading, you will have total peace about it. You will be not only have peace with his, where there is a no disturbance in your heart. Now, you may be scared, or you may be like, "I don't know how it's going to happen," but his peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart, and you'll say, "Even though I'm scared, even though I understand, I have peace. I feel like it's the right thing to do." That is part of the component. The Bible says in Philippians 4, you can write this next to James verse, Philippians 4, 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, pure, just, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." If you're thinking on godly things and you're constantly meditating on godly things, God's peace is going to guide and direct you, because you're going to have decisions to make, and you'll be like, "Should I make this decision? Should I make this decision?" And your logic may say, "Do this," but the peace of God will say, "Do this." God does not make decisions that are based on logic. In other words, God will ask you and guide you and direct you to make decisions that are not logical. Is that logical? No, that proves it. It's not based on logic, it's based on faith. It's based on what he says. And let me tell you something, faith goes beyond logic. Logic says that if you make this much money and it costs you this much money to live, that you shouldn't give any money away. That's logic. Faith says you tithe, period, and I'll bless your finances. Logic says if someone is your enemy and doesn't like you, to stay away from them. Faith says to love them. Ooh, that's not logical. So God will speak to you according to his word and his in faith, and the peace of God is one thing that's going to direct you. Turn to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read this verse real quick. We're still on the peace word, not the first P, just the peace word. Romans chapter 12, watch this. If you are going to be able to understand God's will and accept God's will, your mind is going to have to change. The way you think, the way you reason. I was talking to someone last week about her conscience leading and guiding and directing her. Our consciences are sinful. Our consciences, our mind, the way we've been taught because of our society is sinful. Our conscience is part of our flesh. Now God can speak to us through our conscience, but our conscience in and of itself is sinful. Everything in and of ourselves is sinful. So your mind has to be renewed. You can't figure God out with your logic. You have to allow God to renew your mind so you can start to understand and receive the things of God, because the things of God go totally against the things of the world. So if you say, listen, I want to know God's will, first thing you got to understand is, well, I want his peace to guide and direct me, and his peace is, I'm going to understand his will when he starts to renew the way I think. Look what it says in verse 1, chapter 12 of Romans. It says, I beseech you therefore, my brothers. I got the Don King version, okay? I beseech you therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Now, let me we've been over this verse many times, but I'm going to say it real quick. He says, I'm begging you, according to God's mercy and love for you, present your physical body. Hear that? That's your physical body. Not just your life, oh, God has everything. No, present your physical body, your hands, your eyes, your mind, your conscience, your dreams, your passion. Give all that to God as a living sacrifice, something that he can totally consume. That you are saying, Lord, I sacrifice everything I am physically, emotionally, mentally, socially. Everything I am, I'm surrendering to you as a sacrifice. That means you can do with it whatever you want. If you want to know God's will, you got to sacrifice everything to God. Okay? So you sacrifice everything to God as a living sacrifice. That means, God, I want to function for you. I want my mind to function for you. I want my eyes, my hands, and my feet, my legs to function for your glory and your benefit. I'm surrendering it to you. That's a big step right there, because let me tell you something. Every single one of us in here, including myself, would have to take that to another level. Amen? I mean, we're holding something back. So a lot of us want to know what God wants, and we want God's best, but we're not willing to do what God requires. So first thing he says, I want everything, I want all your issues, all your struggles, all your addictions, I want you to surrender them to me as a living sacrifice, because if you sacrifice it to me, then I can consume it. Like when the Israelites would put the animal on the altar and the fire would consume the sacrifice, the Holy Spirit wants to consume you. It says, bring the living sacrifice holy, that means set aside just for God. That your mind, your body, everything is just for God's purpose and glorification, not your purpose of glorification. This is your reasonable service. And it says, and give it to God in an acceptable way. What does that mean? Give God your best. Are you giving God your best? You read your Bible a little bit in the morning, and that's it? You don't memorize scripture. You don't pray during the day. You give him a little 30 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes in the morning. That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. You go to church one day a week. We only have it one day a week. But you don't think about the word any other times of the week. That's not acceptable. You don't witness. That's not acceptable. I mean, I was at a flag football game yesterday, and our quarterback, we were walking over to my car, and we started talking. He said, man, I just blew a witnessing opportunity. I said, what do you mean? Now, we had played the game, and we had sat on the ground for like an hour and a half talking, and we're both I was limping back to the car. He wasn't limping, but I'm limping back to the car. And so it's like 2 or 3 hours after the game is over, and he said, I just messed up missed a witnessing opportunity. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, the guys playing after us, actually it was 2 hours after us, were talking about where they were going drinking and stuff. It's supposed to be a church league. And so in his mind, all my time belongs to God. That's acceptable. Okay, so if you really want God's best, he requires all of you and all of your life to be his, and that you give him your best all the time. Now, if you do that, look what it says. This is a fascinating verse. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Say real loud, transformed. Say changed. That means the way you are is not acceptable. And you know what? You will always have to be changed. He says, don't be conformed to the world. Don't begin to adopt the opinions of politically incorrect. Don't let Oprah shape your theology. Okay? Don't let Treasure all that stuff on TV. Don't let that stuff determine who you are, how you think, how you make your decisions. It says, don't be conformed to the world. But what does it say? Be transformed. Everybody say transformed. Very good. Transform, and look what it says. By the renewing of your mind. Say renewing of your mind. Now, listen, what I'm saying to you, you want to know God's will? Oh, God, please take me and renew my mind. Oh, man, I love little kids. They don't care. Yeah, Miles thinks he's tough. He got that big microphone. Watch this. I was in Canada at this Samaritan's Purse office, and we were in this room with like five guys, and this one guy had his son. He's probably like 4. And so we're in there talking. We all got suits and ties on. We're talking all this big stuff, right? And this little kid's in there, so I had met him 6 months ago. Well, it really didn't matter. I started messing with this little kid. And I started punching on him. You know, just boom, boom, boom. You know, little kid, little boy especially love you, punch on him. Well, once I got him started, I couldn't get this dude off me. But anyway, little kids are great. But it says, look, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Everybody say transform. By the renewing of your mind. Now listen, when God renews your mind, look what it says. Then you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I know the will of God? Let God change the way you think, the way you reason, the foundation of your decision-making process. That's how you're going to know. That's the basis of this whole thing we're going to go through right now. So let's remember that. God wants to renew the way you think. He wants your mind to submit to his spirit. He wants the way you think and how you make decisions to be submissive to the leading of his spirit. That's what he wants. If your mind is calling the shots, you're going to mess up. If your mind is calling the shots, you're going to go crazy thinking about this, worrying about that, concerned about this, stressing over this. But if you let the Holy Spirit call the shots, and the Holy Spirit guards your heart and your mind, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. So that has to be the foundation of everything I want to talk about. And this week and next week is that God wants to renew your mind. It is a lifelong process. And you will get better at it the longer you live and the longer you practice. Are you with me? Okay. So there's no, if I do these three things, I'm going to know. It's a lifelong process, and you are going to get better. If you practice, get better and better and better. Okay. Now, on the back of your sermon notes, you wrote the word peace, and I gave you these verses. I gave you James chapter 3, verse 17. I gave you Philippians 4, 6. I gave you Romans 12, 1 and 2, all next to the word peace. Okay. You could also write in there Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, which says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. Your conscience does not think the same thing God wants you to think. It says, for as the heavens are high for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know what? You know what's the main thing about us? We have to really believe that God loves us and he wants to talk to us. And the stuff he's going to tell you is so grand, it's so amazing, so awesome. And that your mind, which is renewed, will be able to accept what God has to say. Because a lot of times God tells us stuff and you know what? We don't believe it because we think it's too good. No, I don't deserve that. I can't pray for that. I can't. Oh, forget that. Shut up. Receive it. Be blessed. Because God is big. Amen? Okay. The word P is what I want you to do. Write down next to the word P, practice obeying. Write practice obeying. Let me give you 5 steps. Practice obeying. Practice obeying. Now listen. When you feel like God is saying something to you to do, practice obeying what he tells you. In other words, watch this. And there's probably going to be many people in here. How many people in here, this is a no-brainer. How many people in here would say that, you know, I feel God wants me to pray more? Okay, that's a no-brainer, right? I mean, you know, guess what you should do? Pray more. You know what some people go? I think God wants me to pray more, and I'll just think about it. You don't do anything. If you feel like God wants you to pray more, guess what you should do? Pray more. How many people here think you should study the Bible more than you do? Oh, very good. Very good. Okay. So God is speaking to you. Guess what you should do? Study the Bible more. How many people here think there's somebody in your life you need to go make up with? Oh, look at the hands there. I don't want to do that, so I ain't raising my hand. Guess what you should do? Go make up with them. As I'm going through this, I would like all of you as your homework just to write sometime before I end one thing in your life that you have a dilemma with that you wonder if God, what God's trying to tell you. Just write at the bottom of the page. And as we're going through this, I want you to start going in your mind. And this week, put this to practice and see if God reveals his will to you. First thing you got to do is practice obeying what he says. There's a verse in Habakkuk chapter 2, which is one of my favorite verses. And it says, the Lord answered me. This is Habakkuk, because he asked God a question and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he who reads may run with it. When you feel like God is telling you to do something, start pursuing its fulfillment. In other words, if you know, I feel like God maybe want me to start a business. Well, start planning, writing, researching what he's telling you. Start, and we're going to see in a minute, getting counsel is one of these steps. Start getting counsel. God cannot steer a stationary car. You ever try to turn the wheel of a car? Remember when you were a little kid before you got your license and you go in the car and you act like you're driving, but you can't turn the steering wheel. But if you try to turn it, you're like, ugh, because it's not moving. But when it's moving, you can just go, whoop, whoop. Matter of fact, my wife taught me how to drive a stick shift. And I remember this because I didn't know how she was doing this. But she would take, when I would turn the steering wheel like this, and she would put her hand under the thing and go, whap, and turn the car just like, tap, tap, tap. She's, you know, she's a little itty-bitty woman, but she would just turn the car so easy. Whap, because she knew how to turn the steering wheel, and the car had to be moving. But if the car's not moving, you can't turn it. And many people, many of us, we sit here, God's telling me to do something. God's telling me to do something, and you don't do anything. You just sit there and think about it. You sit there and pray about it. You sit there and go, okay, well, I'll wait for another sign. No, start moving. Go get those signs. Now, again, you got to keep listening. You got to keep doing all the other stuff I'm going to say. But my challenge to you is start to pursue the fulfillment of what you think God is telling you. Because you know what God's going to do in the process? He's going to turn you. When he told Abraham to sacrifice your son, the Bible says early the next morning, he said, Isaac, let's go. He didn't sit there and go, oh man, well, it's my only son, and maybe God, I don't know. God, hey, let's go. God, you can't go do something so quick God can't stop you. I mean, it's not like God's going to say, wait, he can stop you. Trust me. Flat tires, you get sick, you know, someone bops you in the head, you know, whatever. Pursue, if you think he's speaking, act. Follow his lead. Don't just sit and listen. Begin praying, begin fasting, begin planning, begin studying, begin doing something to pursue the fulfillment of what you think he is telling you. This is so key. Because many of you, I said, how many think God wants you to pray? Because if you don't do the first step, you ain't going to get the second message. If you're not faithful in the little things, he's not going to entrust you with the big thing. So if he's telling you to pray more, guess what? The fact that we all, right, you pray more, but the fact that we all rose our hand means that whatever is going to come after we start praying more, we're never going to get. In other words, if God's telling you to pray more, you know what he's saying? He's saying, call to me and I want to tell you stuff. So if you're not calling to him, he ain't telling you stuff. And if he ain't telling you stuff, guess what? That means there's a whole bunch of stuff you're trying to find other places. You're like, well, how come I don't know this? And God's like, I tell you to pray more. And I know a lot of us are thinking, prayer ain't really going to work. Oh, it works. It really does work. This last week, I am probably been more burnout than I have been in years. And you know what it's from? Blessings. Blessings. What I mean by blessings, ministry opportunities that are just wearing me out. I almost said, God, can we just stop for a minute? I mean, give me a break. He said, hey, you prayed. You want me to enlarge your borders? You want me to bless you, put my hand on all that kind of stuff? I mean, just stuff, meetings and planning and opportunities. And I'm like, you know what? Pray. So whatever he's telling, whatever you feel like God's telling you on that little thing, start pursuing the fulfillment of that, whatever he's telling you. Start pursuing answers. Start pursuing getting it done. The Bible says in James chapter 1, next to that P, you could write James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer, this one shall be blessed in what he does. When God speaks to you, or when you think he's speaking to you, if you don't do what he says, you're not being a doer of the word. I mean, if I said, let me ask this question again. Again, this is a no-brainer. We could all raise our hand. How many of you, us, have God been telling you to pray more for a long time? Okay? So what do we do? We don't do it for a long time. He says, listen, you're forgetting what I'm telling you over and over and over again. Matthew 19:17. Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Do what I say. So again, if you hear his voice, or what you think is his voice, start to pursue very prayerfully and carefully in obedience to what you think he's saying. If you think maybe he wants you to be a missionary, well, start investigating missionaryism. You think he wants you to be in ministry, start to pursue ministerialism. Just start going that way. Start talking to people, doing some research, etc. You want to do a business deal? Hey, start looking into the business deal. I mean, that's just, okay. And then again, the peace of God. Be monitoring the peace of God. Next to the E, write down experiences. Experiences. What are your experiences? What has God prepared you to do? God is not going to ask you to do something that he's not molding and shaping you into a person to do it. Write down Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, next to the E. Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Watch this. This is so simple, if you think about it. God made you to do this. If God made you and is shaping you and molding you to do this, He's not going to tell you to do this. Now, He's going to tell you to do stuff to get prepared for this, but it's all going to be along the line of what He prepared you for. If I woke up, you know, some rap group called me up, said, "Yo, Miles, we want you to go on tour." Okay, we one of our rappers, you know, he quit, and we want you to rap. That's nothing I got to pray about. I don't have to say, "Oh man, I'm gonna pray about that. God, do you want me to be a rapper?" I don't think so. I mean, there's nothing in my life. Now, I'll go pray about it. You know, maybe I don't know. But I don't think so. So one of the things I do is unless I have a doubt, okay, let me pursue it. Okay? Let me go ask a couple people, which is going to be one of our things, get some counsel. If anyone counsels me to be the rapper, they need to be shot. But what happens is, what are your experiences? If God has trained you in organization, He's trained you in staffing, or He's trained you in service, and the opportunity comes, you have to say, "Okay, God, have you been preparing me? Have you gifted me to do that? Have you spiritually gifted me through my experiences, through the Holy Spirit, through my talents? Are you doing things in my life now that indicate that's what I should do?" Some of you don't know what ministry you should be in. Well, what spiritual gift has God given you, and what does He bless in your life as far as ministry? That's a very good indication of that's the kind of ministry position you should have. And I know the things that I should do, and I know the things I shouldn't do in ministry. Because some things I do that are blessed and easy and fun, and some things I do, no matter how hard I try, I never get it right. And it's so simple. It's so plain. And so for you to say, what is God blessing in my life? What experiences? What is easy for me to do? What is enjoyable for me to do? What does God give me the unction to do? Write down, right next to the E, write down Philippians 2, verses 12 to 14. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 14 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," listen to what it says, "work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Listen to this. "For it is God who works in you both to will," or to desire, "and to do His good pleasure." You know what it says? Work out your salvation. Remember that? Surrender your body a living sacrifice. Pray, read your Bible, be obedient. Work out your salvation. Go serve, witness. Because God is stirring in your heart the desire to do what He wants you to do, that He gets the credit. Continue to exercise. That's what it says. So what's going on in your heart? What are you doing? What do you like to do? Some people like ministering to the homeless. Some people like ministering to the poor, to the rich, to the gang members, to the prison. Hey, if that's what God's stirring in your heart, go do it. There's always going to be opportunities. There's always going to be another opportunity. There's always going to be a lot of opportunities. God, what are you doing in my life? What are you stirring in my heart? What are you doing around me? What are you blessing in my life? Don't pray so much that God bless what you do versus that you do what God blesses. In other words, if you can't sing, I cannot sing. I will be wasting my time and everybody else's time to try to sing and say, "God, please bless my voice. Please bless my voice. Amen." It's like God's like, "Nah, ain't enough blessing in heaven for that." You need 50 Jabez books. Is that, "Lord, what are you stirring my heart?" I want to see people get saved. That's what I want. I want to see little kids get saved. That's what I want. Okay, go do that then. Go do that then. You know, some people go to churches and the church doesn't do what they want. There's nothing wrong with the church. Just go to find another church. It's okay. Some people have friends and your friends don't want to do what you want. Go get new friends. You have someone you're dating and you guys butt heads. You need to break up. You got a job. You don't like your job. Go get another job. It's real simple. 6 billion people on the earth. You know what I'm saying? So if God is stirring something in your heart, I want to go do it. Go do it. Don't try to force God into a box when he wants to put you in a building. Don't force God on the beach when he wants you in the mountains. Okay? So you got P, practice obeying. E, what are your experiences? A, ask for counsel and advice. A, get advice. I don't know what God's telling me. Go ask somebody. Tell them your experiences. Tell them what you learned from obeying. And check this out. Tell them what anguish you have from not obeying. All you people that raise your hand, and I got my hand up first, us that said we should pray more, raise your hand again. Just raise your hand, okay? Keep your hand up if your lack of prayer has brought you problems, okay? Yeah, everybody. It's like you're trying, you take your hand down quick, you're trying to do it other ways and it ain't working, is it? It's never going to work because God is stubborn. God ain't changing his program for me and you. And so it says, ask counsel. Hey, here's whenever I feel my heart tell me to do this and I like it, I want to do it, I get excited. And when I don't do it, I'm miserable. That tells you something. Go do it. But how am I going to make a living? And I don't know anybody over there. Oh, those are the illogical things that you got to overcome. That's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. Write down Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer and show you great mighty things. Ask counsel from God. Oh, ask God everything. And then it says in Proverbs 15:22. Write that down. Proverbs 15:22. It says, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counsels, they are established. Oh, if you have a question about God telling you something and you want to know what he's telling you or how you should implement what he's telling you, please, it is foolish to not get advice. Foolish. Even if you think you know it, ask somebody else. There's always another opinion. And the more, see what it says? There's safety in a multitude of counselors. A multitude. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And God, give me counsel. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It'd be amazing where you get a little nugget from someone. And this is how God's funny. He'll pick the person you can't stand to tell you the good advice. And then he'll say, oh, your pride doesn't want to listen, huh? He's like, yeah, now, you know this is the right thing to do. And you know if you do it, you're going to admit that that guy you don't like is the one who told you the idea, huh? Yeah, God, why you do that? Because I'm killing 50 birds at one stone. I'm going to get my will done, I'm going to get glory, and I'm going to humble you at the same time. And again, ask counsel. You're going to be asking counsel, and some of the counsel you're going to get, I don't know. And all of a sudden, the peace of God. Whew, that's it. You know, I've struggled over so many decisions in my life and will continue, but one of the sweetest, most peaceful decisions I ever made was to stay here in California. I was going to move. I had truck ordered, house sold, planning date made, and I had no peace the whole time. And one day I was sitting in my living room, and God said, you can stay. I was like, I can. My family was back east. I wanted to go be with my family. I figured, hey, that's logical. Started church back there. That's logical. And I made all these plans. And one day he said, you can stay. You don't have to do anything. Sometimes God says, do nothing. In other words, you think you have to make all these decisions. And sometimes what he tells you is just sit tight. So I said, Debbie, let's get in the car. And we got in the car, and we literally drove all around. We drove from North County down through downtown all the way around the city. And we prayed, God, can this be my home? And we did that 2 days in a row. I called my parents, and I said, we might not come back. Because they were looking, and they said, whatever God tells you, it's fine. Really? I said, I ain't coming back there, baby. But you know, it was like this little, it was like God was saying, man, I've been trying to tell you this for so long. You're so hard-headed. You're not listening. Bam. Stay. And it was like, but my point is that the peace came when I wasn't pressed to do anything. And sometimes you can put pressure on yourself to do something now when it ain't for now. It's not for now. So ask God, ask people counsel. Ask the Bible counsel. What does the Bible say? Okay, actually, we're going to go to C. For C, write down consistent. It is consistent with the Word of God. It is consistent with the Word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews, write down Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. God cannot contradict himself. If God says murder is wrong, murder is wrong. If God says adultery is wrong, adultery is wrong. If God says lying is wrong, lying is wrong. If God tells you to love your enemy, love your enemy. He's not going to tell you two opposite things. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God is not going to contradict himself. So when you're getting this feeling, I feel God speaking to me. Okay, let me start obeying it. Let me see if, let me get some counsel. What are my experiences? But here's a big one. Does it contradict the word of God? Because if you feel God's telling you to do something illegal or immoral, it ain't God. You know, these people say, well, they shot up their school, or they killed these people and say they got a vision from God. Now, they might have got counsel. They might have obeyed this little voice they heard. But let me tell you something. They couldn't line up with Scripture. They couldn't line up with Scripture. And by the way, those counselors, get godly people. Get godly people. Now, unchristian people can give you good counsel on certain things, because unchristian, non-Christian people have wisdom and experience that's legitimate on things. There's no question about it. Business and unspiritual things. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, if you're going to go learn how to play baseball, you don't have to get a Christian baseball player to teach you how to hit. I mean, you know, non-Christian baseball players can hit the ball pretty far. But when it comes down to the things of God, hey, get someone who knows and understands the things of God. That's why it's so good to have godly, older, mature, or more people who've been Christian longer than you in your life to always be talking to. Oh, it'll save you so much headache. Okay. Matthew, right down next to C, Matthew 5:17. It says, do not think I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come but to fulfill them. Okay. In your small groups this week, there's going to be about 7 to 10 things that I'm going to give you where you're going to read verses in the Bible and you're going to see very plainly what God tells you to do. Because some of the things that we wonder what we should do, it's already written in the Bible to do it. Bible tells you to pray, tells you to tithe, it tells you to love your enemy. I mean, you don't have to pray about those things. It's already in the book. Okay, so a lot of the things that you wonder about, it's already in the book. So one of the first things you should do is go read the book. What does the Bible say about this? Again, I said, don't do these things. These things don't necessarily happen in this order, but it's consistent with the word. The last letter is E. Expectation. Write the word expectation. Expectation. Do you really expect God to speak to you? Because I believe that a lot of people, they leave the house in the morning and they make their own decisions all day long. And then they blame God at the end of the day for what happened. Do you really expect that God is interested in everything in your life, that he will speak to you in a moment? When I was at Horizon, Mike McIntosh used to have a secretary years ago who I see very seldom. But one of the things she said to me about Mike that I never forgot, it was probably 10 years ago. She said this about Mike. I am so amazed to see God speak to him on the fly. In other words, he's sitting there making decisions and he'll just bam, bam, bam. In other words, you don't have to go to the desert and sit 5 days. Boom, shakalaka, boom. To hear God say one thing. Do you know what I'm saying? is that God can speak to you drive, and he can speak to you in conversations. You can get a word of knowledge. Some of you have gotten words of knowledge and you didn't think it was God. You thought it was a good guess. You're talking to somebody, you think, oh, this person's got a drug problem. No, I mean, not because they're sitting there going, but as you're talking to them, God just tells you they have an addiction. They're discouraged, they're suicidal, and you know that, but yet you don't want to say it because you could be wrong. But later you find out it was really true. You know what? God spoke to you. So what you should do is practice obeying. What does that mean by that? Just every time God tells you something, write it down. See if it's true. Write it down. See if it's true. And if it's true, guess what? You might have a gift of knowledge. You might have the gift of prophecy. You may have a gift of wisdom. Well, you need to understand and acknowledge that gift and start using it and practicing it. Stirring it up, the Bible says, Paul told Timothy, stir up your gift. Perfect it. Work it out with fear and trembling. What says here, you need to expect God to speak. Come on, God, tell me. I got to make this decision now. No, you don't. You know what? Because sometimes if God doesn't speak to you, guess what? Don't make a decision. You can always say, I need to wait. Ooh, that's a good decision. I want to wait. But I want to get married now. I got everything all organized. I got to wait. How long? Probably till you quit me and I get another girlfriend. I don't know how long. And you know what? I don't know. It is so freeing, especially someone like me who's goal-oriented, got to get it done now. It is so freeing and against my nature to wait indefinitely. Ooh, I hate that. Can't stand. I want to know when, how, with whom, what's it going to look like, what am I going to do after it's over? No, I want you to wait, and I want you to think about it. Matter of fact, I want you to forget about it. Oh, God, don't tell me that. I just did, and I'm not going to change my mind. Isaiah 30, verse 9. Write that down next to E. Isaiah 30, verse 9. These are rebellious people, it says, deceitful children. And watch this. Listen to what it says. Children unwilling to listen to the Lord's instruction. You want to be a person that's like this. Speak God. When you're walking out of here today, speak God. When you're driving down the street, speak God. When you go home and you're going to eat your breakfast or your lunch, speak God. When you're going to turn the TV on, God, you want me to turn the TV on? Nope. Fine. March Madness. Okay, you can watch one game. Let me read this verse to you. Write down 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 through 13. 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 13. It says, it's Elijah going out in the mountain. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore them into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a small, still voice. Hey, I've been a Christian 17 years. And God has never spoken to me other than through a small, still voice. Hey, sounds like my conscience is very peaceable, gentle. It agrees with the word. It's right. It's beyond. It's logical and then beyond. It becomes logical when you look back and see how he ordered everything. It's according to my life experience and training and gifting. And he goes, do that. Yeah. Quit your job from Verizon, which I did twice, by the way, with no security of income. Okay. Go do this crusade over there. Okay. Go do this crusade over there. Okay. Go start talking about Africa, even though you don't know not one person in Africa. Okay. Go down here and start talking about buying this building. It's going to cost you millions and millions. You don't even know how much it's going to cost you. Okay. Go over here and do this. Okay. Go hire that person, fire that person. Okay. That's all he says. That's all he says. And you know what? The longer I don't do what he says, the more turmoil I have. because he's telling me to do it over. But he just tells me like this, go do it. Didn't I tell you to do it? You better do it. I'm going to kill you if you don't do it. But he never yells. Why? Because he's authority. I don't really have to yell at my kids, even though I do. But I shouldn't have to yell. I would say, my daughter's so funny. I told my daughter, Kimmy, can you go get me, I can't remember what it was, get me some ice for my leg or my expenses. And she says, you know what? The only reason we're in this house is so you can use us as your servants. You make us get you this, you make us get you that. And I said, basically, yeah, go get it. But here's what I said to her. I said, Kimmy, are you telling me that we birthed you, pay for everything, your clothes, thousands of dollars for your school, your clothes, your food. I got this house because of you. I don't need this big house. I got this dog because of you. I got that car because I got to put your behind in it. I did all of that. I did all of that just so you could go get me something out of the refrigerator. I don't think so. I'd just go hire a butler if I was that, you know. You just happen to be there and happen to have no purpose for your life right now. So please go get me. Amen, man. Man. But if I was a real legitimate dad, all I would have to say is, Kimmy, can you get me that? She said, yes, sir. But because I don't have the authority and power of God, I got to yell. And bribe. I mean, my other daughter's like, how much money do I get? I mean, I asked my wife to iron my shirt this morning, right? And I iron most of my clothes. But I said, can you iron the shirt? She said, okay. My daughter's in there. She's laying in our bed with us. She says, Mommy, if I were you, she said, I'd make daddy pay you for all this stuff. I said, get out of my bed and get out of my room. Pay her. And I started going through the list. I got her house, I got her food, I got her. She's paid. Golly. God, you know, we make God go through all that, don't we? God says, do this. Well, God, I'll do it if you do this. Well, God, do this. I mean, he'll tell us, do this, do this. Well, you know, if you do this, give me another sign, give me another sign, give me another sign. You're alive. Amen? I mean, isn't that good enough? You're alive. You have a brain. You're able to think these things and communicate to me, God says. Isn't that enough? Should be. So again, here, let's go through the letters. Peace, the word peace, let God's peace guide you in all these steps. Okay? P, practice obeying. Feel God telling you to do something, start pursuing it. See what happens. God will stop you. He will turn you. Trust me. Okay? Just be listening the whole time. Experiences, what are your experiences? What's he doing around your life? If he sends 5 people to you to offer you a job in the travel business, I think he might want you in the travel business. Possibly, okay? A, ask advice. Get advice. Never ever make a decision, especially major decisions, without asking someone's advice. Have people in your life who you could talk to. Biblical, okay? C, check with the Word of God. Check with the Word of God. Don't do this crazy stuff. Oh, I'm a Christian and I got this thought and God spoke to me. No, it could be just your conscience. Christians, and maybe you don't realize this or believe it, but Christians have some wacky ideas. Okay, and they're not from God. One guy came to me and says, I got an idea for you, brother. I got this vision for you. 99 times out of 100, those things are like, ain't for me. He says, we're going to get a coffin. And we're going to walk down Ocean Beach, and you're going to lay in the coffin like a dead person, and you're going to come up out of the coffin and start to preach. Man, wouldn't that be powerful? Brother, you may be saved and you may read your Bible, but that ain't powerful. That's crazy. You know, I told him, I said, I think you're supposed to do that. I think God's speaking to me right now. That's for you. You can wear those clothes right there. You just look like, yeah, right? You're ready to go. C, is it consistent with the word? And E, listen for his voice. You know, I've shared this many times, and I'll share it again. When you pray, get on your knees, get a pen and paper out, and say, God, speak to me. The first letter in the piece is practice obeying. This is probably the easiest and most consistent thing you should do in the form of practicing obeying, is that every single day, as often as you can, write down what you feel God telling you to do. Now, I ask people, I challenge a lot of people to journal, and some people say, well, I don't journal, that's not my thing. You know what? I think that's the biggest cop-out, and I think it's a big mistake. Because I know from being a businessman and a person of vision that if you cannot write the vision, you don't have a vision. If you can't write it down, your idea is just indigestion. You know what I'm saying? It's something where and anybody here who is business knows that when you get an idea, the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, write the vision so plain and simple that the person who reads it can get it and go. But if it's like mumbo jumbo, they're going to be like, this is mumbo jumbo. And for you to be able to write it clearly takes work, takes practice. So every day, if God's trying to tell you to do something and you can't write what he's saying, how are you ever going to do it? You can't. And then you're going to miss it a little bit, you're going to miss it a little bit. And when you miss a little bit with the people you marry, when you miss a little bit with the career you take, when you miss a little bit with the 4 or 7 years of college, when you miss a little bit with this investment or this business or 10 years of your life, you miss a lot. You miss a lot. So I would challenge you, every day, how you can practice that first one is write down what you think God's saying. It's no harm in doing that. And then write it down the next day. Right? And then start looking at what he's saying to you. And guess what? If he tells you the same thing over and over again, I think maybe you should start doing it. So next week, we're going to continue. Where are we going to be next week? Montezuma Hall, 8:30. How many people here from the 8:30 service? Just raise your hand. Ooh, how many people here from the, well, everybody else. If you're here from the 10:30 service, raise your hand. Very good. I am so blessed to be your pastor. You guys are so amazing to travel, and I know it's an inconvenience. I hope it's not a big inconvenience, but trust me, it inconveniences me and burdens me as much as any of you, because I would love for us to be in a place. But you know what? God is going to use this traveling process to refine us as a strong church, and he's going to weed people out too. But God has something for us to do and to be, not just a big crowd. You heard me say this over and over again. And part of what we're going through is going to teach us that, hey, we're not going to get where this is, where we are. Our mission field is outside the wall. And so, but I just want to thank you for showing up this morning. I was in the back wondering, man, I wonder if anybody's going to come. But we'll be back at Montezuma. I would ask you to pray for two things. I'm meeting on Tuesday with the sports arena to discuss temporary move from Montezuma Hall. I have no idea what's going to come of it, but you can pray about it. There's several options, and we'll meet with them. And I'm meeting Thursday with some people about another building that it is so unbelievable that I want to be able to. Is far from a done deal, but it's so unbelievable. This is what's worn me out this whole week, telling people, you know, my family and my counselors, this story of what's happening. And so you can pray for Tuesday and Thursday's meeting, because where we're at obviously is too small. For you who were in 10:30 service last week, it was just ridiculous. It's a great problem to have, but we would like to have a bigger place. And so you can pray for those things this week. We're on an incredible journey, and hopefully I'll keep having some more and more news to tell you. But anyway, sorry I can't tell you everything, because I can't. Now this Saturday, We are going to have a baptism. So bring your bathing suits and everything else to the baptism. And if you have some friends you want to get baptized who are not saved, bring them. We're going to give a gospel presentation. And you have your Easter, Good Friday. Listen, we're going to do Easter all together. One service on Easter morning, all together. So we're going to be in the OAT, and then one service at night all together. And then we have Good Friday. We're going to have two services. How many went to Humphreys last year? Good Friday, very good. It was a great time. It was, even though it was raining, kind of, it was still beautiful. We're going to do two services this year, 11 and 12:30. And it's going to be very short, like a 55-minute hour, boom, 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 boom. So, yes, we're going to pray and then sing a song, and I'm going to go out and stand at the door and say hello to everybody who is helloable. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your love. Lord, I pray that everybody in here would write down that one thing that they want direction from, that they want wisdom from. They don't know what you're trying to say to them, that they would get counsel, that they would pray, they would read the Bible, that they would practice pursuing it and obeying what they think you're saying. And they will continue to watch what you do. They will continue to sense your peace and your presence. They will continue to watch what is blessed in their life. Lord, we want to know what you want. Open up doors and close doors of opportunity. Thank you for being so good to us. Lord, lead us that we may live a supernatural life. May we not base our decisions on logic. May we not base them on our experiences, but may all of that help us understand what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen.